Yes, very good. We are glad. Brother and Sister Kupka have almost finished translating the Seals book in recent weeks. We are also glad about this, and we are grateful to God that there are people who simply have it on their hearts to work for God. We want to pray for such people and thank God for them. However, perhaps we should not say anything negative, but someone who has not even read how they translate has already announced before they have returned that the translations are not correct. Yes, and those are, I don't want to say it, but those are our dear brothers and sisters who believe in the seven thunders. Yes, Brother Kupka, that's how it is. These are things no one can understand. There is no unbeliever who would understand this. Not a single one. They haven't seen anything yet. They haven't read anything yet. But they are already proclaiming that the translations are not correct. If that is not obsession and a work of Satan to spread unbelief and doubt, then I don't know what is. It is written in a psalm that the enemies have invaded the sanctuary, and what does it say? Have caused devastation. And so it is. The Spirit of God, and I quote Brother Branham here, he says, speak good of one another. Speak good of one another. And that is the mark of a child of God. That you simply emphasize the positive things and talk about them, but not negatively, in order to tear others down. I don't know where it was, but in any case, I had a conversation, a very short conversation, with a sister who was totally exhausted. I don't remember who she was. In any case, it wasn't even 5 minutes, and the sister was beaming and said, Brother Frank, if you knew what this short conversation has done for me, you wouldn't believe it. A positive conversation, a strengthening, uplifting, encouraging conversation is good for everyone, isn't it? And we all need that. We must rid ourselves of all negative things. Simply put them aside so that they no longer exist and walk our path with God, allowing ourselves to be guided by the Spirit so that others may be blessed. We have heard many things in the scripture that was read to us. It is a very short letter that Jude writes, but it expresses a great deal. There is a great deal written in this one letter. Already in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What could be more important than that? To contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We believe that it will remain so until the end. This faith has not been given to everyone, but to those who are sanctified in Christ, the saints and beloved, those called out by God. to whom the word has been revealed. It says right here in the first verse, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. What depth is already contained in these words? I send my greeting to those who are called and loved by God the Father. I have a letter on my desk of someone who wants to know how to understand John 17, when our Savior said, "Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Such a verse is so majestic, so glorious, so revealing when seen in its proper context. God made his decision from eternity. Jesus was the Lamb of God, destined to die for us even before the foundation of the world. We were destined to be saved before the foundation of the world. God did not begin to plan after something was already in progress, but God's plan was complete before the beginning. And therefore, our Lord could say, "Glorify me with the glory that I had with you." You and I can say the same thing. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Of course, someone will ask, "Were you already there then?" In the eyes of God, I was already there. I had not yet been manifested, and so it was with our Lord. In the eyes or in the plan of God, everything had already been decided. God knew that the man he would create would fall. He knew when he formed Lucifer and placed the precious stones in his garment that he would bring the whole world down. God is God. God is all-knowing. There is no one who can tell me that God was greatly surprised. Not at all. God knew all things. Then we hear Brother Branham say that God had qualities within himself that had to be revealed. It was within him to be the Savior, to be the Father. All of this was in God. All of this had to unfold and is unfolding. And so, everything moves in the right rhythm and in the right order according to the eternal plan and will of God. Sure, I almost said we can talk cleverly today, but we can be thankful because we read in Ephesians 1, verse 3, He predestinated us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Everything before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, verse 8. All will worship the Antichrist. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life. God didn't write this today. God wrote it before anything existed. And it is also majestic to know that we are included in God's eternal plan of salvation. What certainty of faith must fill our hearts! No one should think that God accepted me today and will let me go tomorrow. That is not our God. Our God has loved us with eternal love. He has given us eternal life by grace. And eternal life means eternal life, namely life in eternity. Yes, and when we have it, we have it forever. Can I deny any son or daughter whom I have begotten? And even if they go their own way, can I deny them? Certainly not. They are there. I cannot deny things that are there. All who are born of God, even if they go their own way, God will guide them. God cannot deny them. They were in his loins. They came forth from him. And therefore, he will draw all who belong to him to himself, and will not lose them, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Only the lost son, who was it? Judas, of course. He was lost. But no one else, no one will pluck them out of his hand. We must begin to believe biblically in order to trust the Lord completely and wholly. We must no longer look to ourselves, but truly to the Lord, who accomplished everything on the cross of Calvary. Here it speaks of the faith that was once for all delivered, handed down, and entrusted to the saints. They have it. It has been given to them. The faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In the next verse, he comes to a development that has been repeated throughout the ages, for there are certain men crept in unawares. That is the difference. Some are born into it, and others creep in. Then they are in the same room, and at some point, they no longer go in the same direction. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone will say, then they are certainly no longer believers. When you read here the word ungodly, shall I read it to you? Somewhere it's written. I'm not prepared for this. But the prophet Jeremiah, he says, among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait and set traps. Yes, 100%. And when they find something, then they've got you. They are just waiting for something to happen. And then woe betide you. These are the ungodly men we were just talking about. They are just waiting for the moment when they can catch someone. And then it's over. They are not waiting to set people free or bring comfort. I've got it. Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Yes, sir. Skilled people. You don't think about anything. You don't suspect anything. And suddenly you are caught in a trap. And who set the trap? Here it is. Among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait, like bird catchers hiding in ambush. Of course, they don't want to be seen like a scarecrow, so they crouch down. But they set the traps. Then they crouch down and wait until the thing closes. And then there's great shouting among the captives and joy among the bird catchers. Then there is great joy among these people. And what joy? Joy in the Lord? Not at all. A great Schadenfreude arises there. And let it be told to everyone. Those who rejoice in others' misfortune do not walk with God. Whoever does not have compassion and sympathy and is not willing to help, even to the point of laying down one's life, what does God's word say? If we love God as He has loved us, then we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, not to trip others so that they fall and we are happy about it, but that we suffer with them, that we sympathize. Right? So when it is written here that they are ungodly men and so on, and that they are among the people of God and have crept in, then the prophet Jeremiah has already said quite clearly, "For among my people are found wicked men, they lay in wait." I hope that none of us are among them. Do not set traps for anyone, either with words or in any other way. Be glad if you can walk with God, and if He blesses you without any major problems arising. But I hear it again and again. I said it years ago, when people thought they were floating above the clouds and nothing would happen to them. What have I heard over the years? And this is not Schadenfreude, but people have had to realize that the time comes for everyone to go through certain trials, and blessed is he who is prepared and also expects it. Let us return to this word here. Then Jude writes here, I'll just leave out the AS here, because it reminds me very much of Judas Iscariot. And an apostle of the Lord does not deserve to be compared to Judas Iscariot. But then it says in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There were two things. The coming out of Egypt was one thing, and then came the time of testing in the wilderness. And then those who did not believe perished, because they did not believe what God had said. We even see this with the spies. 12 went, and 10 brought back an unfavorable report. They looked at the visible and not at the invisible, and they made the people very sad. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had a different perspective. They saw the same things, but they looked beyond them because they trusted God, because they believed God. We may see the same things. They are right before our eyes, but when we believe, we look beyond them, and then we do not see them, but already see in faith what God has promised. And then all the things are listed here, that God did not spare even angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Here in brackets, 2 Peter 2, 4-9. And then even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then it goes on and on with this description. And then this apostle comes to Cain. In verse 11 it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori." These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. That's interesting, a nice category of people. And when there is a love meal or something special, they sit at the table and behave according to every rule of etiquette. But in their hearts, they are something completely different. As human beings, we only see what is in front of our eyes and no further. But God sees the heart. All it takes is for someone connected to the kingdom of God to actually think of their own advantage. All they have to do is think, how much can I get out of this? If a man of God does not think, how much can I put in, but instead thinks, how much can I get out, he is not a man of God. He is a Balaam, as described in this book, who desired a reward of divination. He can say, forever and ever, here speaks the one whose eye is open. Maybe, but his heart is closed up to the top. And if it's open, then certainly for other things. No, there are certain characteristics in believers, whether those who preach the word or those who hear it. There are characteristics that identify us as one or the other. And here we see they are driven by greed and so on. And they share in your love feasts. So they are actually among the believers. I have experienced something in these days or some time ago. No, it was a short while ago. Why should I present it differently than it is? In any case, a brother I was visiting. There was a brother I knew who was ill. And because I couldn't get there as quickly as I was called, I was of course late. And I drove to the house and wanted to ask which hospital the brother was in. And then his wife said, my husband is in the cemetery. I wanted to visit a sick person, and lo and behold, the sick person had died. And I had a brother with me, who was my driver. And he just started laughing and said, Brother Frank, how come you didn't know that the brother was no longer alive? I said, listen, I only read the date on the letter now on the way here, but God will have his way. Don't worry about it. But for me, it was also a little embarrassing at first that I wanted to visit someone who was ill, and the sick person was already dead, so I couldn't visit him anymore. But then the following happened. We had a wonderful time, the nephew arrived, and we had a conversation. And before I left the house or the flat, I prayed for this man, for a young man who had dedicated his life to the Lord. And then, of course, I knew that I had been right to go there after all. You know, I'm a person who, when called, goes day and night. No distance is too far for me, but I can't always be there at the right time. But now comes the point. I almost smile, although it is not a laughing matter. And suddenly, this dear, left behind old sister asks, "Brother Frank, did you get the money?" I asked, "What money?" "My husband prepared 300 weight of copper, which was very difficult to obtain. And he told brother so-and-so, and he came and picked it up, and it was to be given to you, and you would know where it is to go in the mission." I said, "Sister, I haven't received anything yet." And then this dear sister actually held on to the chair and thought, "Well, what is this now?" But now I had this brother with me, and he knew this other brother. And now the fire came out of the roof. Of course, he asked this brother, or had him ask, and I can tell you, it was an embarrassing situation, very embarrassing. And he, I don't want to say it here, but he gave it to someone he is now going to, even though he was told very clearly who it was for and what it was to be used for. And he certainly never expected that it would ever come to light. And now it has come to light. I was embarrassed, because I don't want things like that to happen. But you can actually see that people are so filled with a rapturing faith that they have already been raptured from the most natural things and the truth that is still needed on earth, and no longer know what is proper on earth, but have the rapturing faith. My goodness, I want to be serious and say the following. I hope that the Lord God, in His great mercy, will once again carry out a thorough house cleaning among His own before the return of Jesus Christ, and also cleanse our hearts and remove the self-deception, hypocrisy, and everything that goes with it from all those whom He has destined for holiness. No one needs sanctimoniousness. We only need holiness. No one needs hypocrisy. No, it is my sincere expectation that God will not leave us in this state. I have the impression anyway that a time must come when everything will really be cleared up, even among ourselves. You know, it is now a state where you would like to talk to certain people, but I tell you, they will not talk to you. They will not talk to you. That is out of the question. One would not have thought it possible that there are people who would not speak, and if they did speak, it would be so loud, namely a deluge of something else, but not a conversation, that you would hear it across the street in the next block, and such conversations are of no use whatsoever. You have to know that everything is a grace from God, and this with every person who is saved. He is saved by grace and not by merit. And you also have to know that it is written, forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if that is the case, then no conversation is necessary. When and where are conversations held? Out of a desire to be right, to present things, to present one's own point of view, which is already known. We can present that for another 100 years. No, that is no longer necessary. God must come to His right with us and in all of us. We will all have to submit under the mighty hand of God. No one needs to make others submit to God. Everyone will submit to God on their own. No one will, what was it? Someone denounced this Catholic confession of sins and asked, to whom does he confess? To whom are so many sins revealed? To whom does he confess his sins? No, we will no longer lead anyone anywhere except to Christ and then into the presence of God, so that everything may be settled with God in faith. Even a confession made in unbelief can lead to suicide and spiritual murder. Everything that is supposed to bring us God's blessing must be done in faith. And it can only be done in faith if it is done according to the Word of God. All things that are not done according to the Word of God are human anyway, and are perhaps even something less than that, and are harmful to individuals and to the whole cause of God. The description continues here. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage, and so forth. Everything is described in the clearest and most explicit terms. But then comes what was read to us. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the end times are described. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, and so forth. A person who has the Spirit of God will not cause divisions. He will not separate. On the contrary, he will clear away what separates and say, we are brothers, we belong together. Whoever has the Holy Spirit will know that the Holy Spirit serves to baptize us all into one body. So it is written, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Will the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who baptized me into the body of Christ, move me to divide this body? No one believes that. then the kingdom of God would be divided and split apart. How could it exist? No, never ever. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and whoever has received Him has been baptized by the Spirit into one body. Who then wants to divide the body? The Spirit of God? Certainly not. No, no. There is no child of God who has received the Holy Spirit, is led by the Spirit of God, and follows and serves the Lord, who would seek to harm the church, cause divisions, or bring discord in any way. Brother Branham preached a sermon entitled The Seed of Discrepancy, Discord, and so on. Let us forget all that. And should anything happen to a believer, then bring it to the Lord and say, Faithful Savior, I certainly did not mean it. Be merciful to me. There is no believer who would do anything deliberately or with calculation to cause harm, for then Hebrews 6 would indeed apply. Whoever sins willfully, that is with intent, sins in such a way that he crosses the line and cannot return. Therefore, we must be careful to walk with our God, heed His word, and be guided by His Spirit. And then we can also build ourselves up on the most holy foundation of faith and pray in the Holy Spirit and be preserved by the love of God, waiting confidently for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will find at the end of days that the Sermon on the Mount was 100% true. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Try to turn off your mercy for others, and then try to get it from God. You just thought so. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There are certain rules with God. Not everyone can do what they want and numb their conscience so that it no longer beats. No, may God give us a time, truly a time for self-examination, a time for inner reflection, a time in which we realize where we are not as we should be. And then we will certainly not seek or find faults in others, but at most in ourselves. May God meet me and all of us halfway. May He help us and bless us from the riches of His grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. With all our hearts, we thank You together for Your word, O Lord. In Your words, we recognize ourselves. We see in them what our condition is, O Lord. Grant us the grace to recognize ourselves as we are and to recognize You as You are, and that You may transform us into Your image. Faithful Lord, we pray for all who have become Your own, and for those who are yet to become Your own. Faithful God, we further pray that You would put a stop to every other spirit among Your people, and grant your people discernment to recognize who is at work and what is being pursued and what goals are associated with it. Beloved Lord, take care of your people in a visible way, O Lord. We praise the power of your blood, your word, and your spirit. We pray for all who have gone a little too far, O Lord, those who have let their mouths run wild as they pleased, O Lord, young and old alike. Faithful God, grant them grace to repent. We have received forgiveness and forgive all as you have forgiven us. Without question, we can say this to all and give it in writing from our hearts. We have already done so. We pray that you will come into your own among your people, O Lord. That all who are to take part in the first resurrection and rapture may find their way and that they are corrected, O Lord, and walk their path with God, faithful Master. Bless us and all your worshipping people. Faithful God, also these special prayer requests from Czechoslovakia, from here and from there, O Lord, stretch out your arm, heal, make well, perform signs and wonders, O Lord, and confirm your word to those who believe it. We also place the weekend gatherings before you, O Lord. Grant us a beneficial atmosphere. Take away all foolishness from us. Take everything away, O Lord, and grant us attentive hearts that we may discern how the enemy seeks to hinder us, to paralyze us, to discourage us, to confuse us. Faithful Lord, grant that we may recognize this and not allow ourselves to be drawn into it, but move forward with you. Lord, we ask for victory and blessing, for a breakthrough. We do not want to celebrate Pentecost. We want to experience Pentecost. Faithful Lord, you are the one who baptizes with spirit and fire. Praise and glory be to your wonderful and holy name.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise be to the living God from eternity to eternity. Arise, O Lord, take your power, that the enemies may be scattered, and restore your sanctuary, and raise up your people, and bless us, as you have promised. In Jesus' name, Amen.